kick ass. Whoa, that's kick ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So, welcome to the show. Exciting to have you along, and today's going to be an awesome show. My guest is someone that I'm falling in love with. This guy, man, he's brilliant, he's successful, he's really, really down to earth and authentic. And while I was away in Africa, he stepped in and did a show just like that, and you're going to find out who it is in a minute. But I want to dedicate this show. I'm dedicating this show to Paula, her husband Jason, and their son Ben, who live in Edmonton, Alberta. And I talked to her yesterday. She found the show through Jack Canfield, and she's never been to a personal development program. And she found this show after that. And, you know, listening to her sort of restructure her life, it's almost like you get this impression that society, her conditioning, her parents, her grandparents, her schools have sort of built this fortress around her of what, you know, she used to think the world was about and what she used to think her place in the world was and her ability, you know, how she could make money and who she's meant to be and the mask she's meant to wear to survive. And through the work she did with Jack, and now she's a daily listener to the show. So thank you, Paula. Her husband hasn't listened yet, so I'm dedicating the show to him. Jason, this one, I want you to listen to this one because this man is brilliant. And, you know, it just takes one thing. If you listen to this guy's story like mine, it takes one person coming into your life with the right information at the right moment when you're open enough to receive it. And maybe, Jason, this is one of those shows that you'll be open enough to receive this information and let it in and just start to see the world differently. And I kind of see, you know, Paula in talking to her is like, you know, she's sort of bricked in and conditioned by the world to see it a certain way. And now she's been sort of, you know, scraping away at the sort of the mortar of the bricks and pulling them out and looking through into this vista of possibility, this vista of what, now knowing there's this choice that she can create the world she wants, she can create the wealth she wants, she can create the relationship she wants, and she's already taken some strides that way. She's already eradicated some of the negative stinking thinking that some of the people around her had, and not spending as much time or spending zero time with some people, realizing that some people, you know, there's that wonderful saying, you become the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And, you know, and we really have to make better choices. And she was like, you know, just so positive on the phone yesterday about this new life that she's seeing. So anyway, as I dedicate this show and get you ready for our guest who is over the top and one of the most brilliant minds in the arena that we're about to talk about. But first, this is a little tribute to Paula and her family as they start to tear down this wall in front of them that they believed to be true at one point. And now, as Paula's seeing through these gaps and seeing the possibility, she's able to recreate her life the way she wants it. So here we go.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. All in all, you're just
really interesting with me, you know, because when I think back in my story and as I look back and I remember, you know, a lot of you have heard this story already. You know, I was 15, my history teacher, Mr. Osler, who was not only broke and unhappy, he didn't have a great heart. He was a mean man, and he sat me down and he said, hey, you know, David, he says, you've been the worst student I've had in 37 years of teaching. And, you know, you're probably going to end up in jail or on the streets, you know. And I believed him. You know, I believed his BS and I believed who I was in the world. And I went off around the world. Fortunately, I accidentally left my environment and spent 10 and a half years traveling, which enabled me to find a new pathway. But the truth is, at that time, I believed his nonsense to be true. And so many of us are living with that condition. What I love about our guest is that he really, really, really understands a subject which, for a lot of people, is a gateway. Because, you know, how we do our money is how we do our life. How we do our money is how we do our relationships. How we do our money is how we do every other part of our life. So, you know, there's that wonderful saying, how I do anything is how I do everything. You know, and, you know, when you meet somebody who's absolutely dedicated to not only his own creation of the life of his dreams, which he's already done. He did that by the time he was 30 years, a multi-millionaire. But truly what had happened was he was able then to sort of really unlock the code of wealth and able to really teach others how to follow a sort of a step-by-step program that will enable them to tear down this wall and to really create the wealth that they want and they could desire. And in doing that, you know, what happens is everything changes. Relationships change, you know, the way you show up in the world change, the way that we can start removing mass change. So today we're going to talk about a subject which, if we follow on with Pink Floyd, I'll play the song. Here it is. That's right. We're going to talk about money today and the ability to create wealth with the most amazing man. Again, I just want to say thank you for stepping in on the show and while I was away and doing such a beautiful job. And so just while you listen in as I have a chat with the wonderful John Assaraf. So as I always start the show the same way, I'm always incredibly excited. And I'm excited for a number of reasons about today's show. First of all, our guest is really the best of the best of the subject we're going to be discussing. And you're going to find out why, because it's all about the science of the subject, which really, really excites me because I'm very excited about the subject itself. And the second reason I'm excited is because this is a return guest, and it was such a great first show we did, and the downloads were all over the world, and so I'm so excited to have you back. So, John, welcome to the show.
It's always great to be on. I shouldn't say always. I guess this is the second time, so it's great to be back.
Well, it's always great to be chatting because we chat more than we're on the show. But yeah, it's so great to connect again. And I know that last time we spoke, you were just going off skiing with the family. And family is such a big, important part of what you do. I mean, people see the success side and you're really out there. You're very, very visual. Visible, I mean, in the world. But actually, your time with your family is critically important to you as well, right?
Yeah, it formulates part of my having it all, you know, mindset. And, you know, that's to create the environment and the resources for myself to really love my life and enjoy my life. And family is right up there with oxygen.
Yeah. And that's very, very apparent. Now, mindset's a great introduction, I think, to what we're going to be talking about. You've spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, and you've been around some of the brightest minds in the world as you've sort of unlocked the code, I suppose it is, to winning the game of money. How important is mindset for people that want to really understand money?
Well, I think it's vitally important if you think about, you know, what drives, you know, your thinking, what drives the emotions you have, what drives what you do or what you don't do. It all stems from your mindset. And the more you can master your mindset, the more you can achieve the results that you really want to achieve. And I think most people would agree that, you know, what holds them back is not that they don't know, you know, more of what they should do or could be doing. What they don't know is, why am I not doing more of those things that I know I should be doing?
So if we want to start with some of the common errors, before we go into what people can do, obviously, as you've sort of unlocked this code, when you look at some of the mistakes that people are making around money, and it's such a big thing. I mean, you know, there is so much pain associated with this. There is so much of people's self-worth that they tie into this subject. But what is it that you're seeing that a lot of people are doing, if we can use the word wrong, or because they don't know better? What is the common mistakes that people are making around money?
Well, there's really a few different aspects to money that most people have really never studied and never become really excellent at. And the areas that we really need to be aware of is, number one, is what are the rules of the game to earn more money? And there are rules, whether you have a job, whether you want to invest, whether you want to, you know, buy real estate, whether you want to play the stock market. There's rules of engagement. Then there's the managing of money. Once you make the money, there are rules of, you know, what should I do with the money? What percentage should I allocate for saving? What percentage should I allocate to pay down debt? What percentage should I allocate for, you know, investments? What allocation should I make, you know, for my expenses? Then once you really do that well, then it's a matter of, well, now the excess amount of money that I have, you know, where do I want to invest it so that my money is now working for me? And so, again, you've got a variety of different places that you can invest money. And most people dabble and play at it and hope that they do well. But it's a game of specialty. And then there's a matter of, once I've acquired some wealth, how do I preserve that wealth so that it lasts my lifetime and funds the lifestyle and the things that I want to do with that money? And then if you want to get into a little deeper levels of a preservation, is, do I want my money to survive me to do things for my friends, my family, the charities that I want, and the legacy that I want to live? And most people really have never learned the basics, let alone the advanced strategies. And so we're talking about mindset around money. It really starts with all of your thinking around money and all of your thinking around your beliefs, your habits, and your paradigms, what you believe is true about money and your ability to earn as much of it as you want.
Before we go into what some of these the findings are, and I want you to give some understanding to people listening, because remember, we're in 152 countries now, John. going up all the time. But there's people all over the world listening in, and they're all, you know, different cultures, different backgrounds, but primarily what we're seeing around the world, it's the same stuff in everyone's head. It's the same stuff in people's brains. But can you share a little bit about the journey that it's taken you to get to the point where we're saying, hey, we're going to show you how to win the game of money. And this is why we know what we're teaching you works. Can you give us that background?
Sure. When I was a young boy, I remember having some experiences that were really not to my liking. And specifically, my father was a gambler and was a taxi driver. And every penny that he made, he spent by that night, and then in most cases, he owed more money. And I remember my mother working, you know, really long, hard hours at the local department store trying to, you know, make a little bit of extra money so that we can rest assured that there was food on the table and that we had enough, you know, clothes on our backs and things like that. And I remember being about 7 or 8 years old, you know, thinking about money and thinking about why it's so hard, you know, for my father to make it and for my father to keep it. And I was scarred a little bit at a young age, feeling like, you know, our neighbors and my friends that I went to school with, you know, had more than we do. And somehow I tied that to my self-worth. And so when I was in my teens, I got involved in a group of with a group of kids that were really doing some things that weren't very nice and illegal things. And I thought that by doing those things, you know, I would be able to at least feel better about myself and have a little bit of money in my pocket. And I got a quick awakening by getting in trouble with the law at a very, very young age. And fortunately for me, because I was young, they really couldn't do anything but slap my hands. But I was very, very fortunate that at the age of 19, I met a gentleman who really took a liking to me, who was very, very wealthy. He had real estate investments. He had investments in the stock market. He had a company that produced millions of dollars in income and profits for him a year. And he really started to show me a lot of the things that my father, you know, didn't know and didn't understand, nor my mother, about how your self-image, the things that you think to be true about yourself and the things that you think to be true about the world around you, shape what you think about, shape what you become, and shape, you know, the amount of income and wealth you acquire. And with his guidance, I was able to become a multimillionaire by the time I was 30. And that went against everything that I was taught about what it took to be rich or who was rich. And so I was a victim of, I shouldn't say a victim. I was a, a result of having negative thinking and negative beliefs and negative habits around money. But that was changed when I met somebody who had a much deeper understanding of what it really takes to acquire inner and outer wealth. And this gentleman taught me for many, many years. And fortunately for me, I listened to him. And then I just kept acquiring more knowledge over the last 30 years on how do you help individuals, you know, change their mindset, their beliefs, their habits, their perceptions, A, around themselves and their confidence and their certainty level, and then B, around what's really possible through upgrading your knowledge and your skills, and I always say, and learning to do the right things in the right order at the right time. And that's when, you know, I started to realize that money is an idea that anybody can grasp, but more importantly, anybody can make a decision right now to double or triple or make five times more income than they've ever made. And in making that decision and then following a what I call as a brain retraining program, they can really start to alter all of the critical elements that are required for them to really achieve the wealth they desire versus just think about it or talk about it.
So two questions I want to ask you on this one. Is wealth then, in your experience and with all the people you've helped, can anybody in any situation, can they create wealth once they understand these components that we're going to talk about? Is it possible?
I believe that almost anybody can. And when I say almost, there are people with some mental challenges that, you know, prevent them from really being able to understand the concepts, understanding what it takes to change. And so, but for the most part, you know, I've worked with teenagers, I've worked with homemakers, men, women, doctors, engineers. I've worked with people in their 60s, 70s. I don't think too many in their 80s. And I've seen measurable, significant shifts in their attitudes, abilities, and then results where they've doubled, tripled, or quintupled their income over a, you know, 6 to 12 to 36 month period of time by applying, you know, the information that that I've gathered and applied myself and helped thousands of people around the world apply.
Yeah. And, you know, my mother, it's really funny. Every time I call her, she's always got this, her strategy for wealth is to buy a lottery ticket. I know that's like 70% of the population. Can you talk a little bit about your understanding around this kind of bizarre thing where somebody can win millions and millions and millions of dollars or even $100 million and within 12 to 24 months, they're broke or broke than when they started. Why does that exist? What's really going on there?
Well, there's a psychological loop that people need to be aware of. Number one is our brain is consistently seeking three things. Number one is pleasure. Like, where can I gain the most amount of pleasure? And hope happens to give us pleasure. So we feel like there's hope, there's a chance. And so we like that. It releases dopamine in the brain. We feel good. So we do things that are pleasurable. Number two, the brain is wired to keep us away from anything that is real or potentially harmful. And so we have this neurological circuit that's going to keep us away from anything that could be too risky and could harm us. And then number three, there's another thing that every species on Earth goes after, and that's minimal effort. And so we try to gain as much pleasure as possible with the least amount of potential risk with minimal effort. And so when somebody wins the lottery, they're dealing with a couple of these systems in addition to something that Maxwell Maltz coined up. He was a plastic surgeon that came up with a foundational belief around a word called psycho-cybernetics. And psycho is the brain or the mind. Cybernetics is just how an operating system works, a control and response operating system, like a thermostat. If you think about how a thermostat works, once it has a certain setting for a temperature, any deviation from that setting kicks off a response through the electrical system in the furnace to turn on the heat or the air conditioning. So it moves all of the environment back into the settings comfort zone. Well, when somebody wins the lottery and all of a sudden has this influx of extra income, your brain senses that this is not normal and will do absolutely everything in its power to get rid of all that money until you reach homeostasis or your comfort zone again. And that's why usually within 2 to 3 years, people who win the lottery end up not just losing the money that they earned, or not earned, but that they won, but they end up owing more money and going past broke because they can't keep up with the lifestyle that they created. The exact same thing happens, by the way, David, if you put somebody, you know, in a housing facility that they're not used to. You take somebody who's homeless and you put them in a beautifully renovated apartment complex. Within very, very short order, they will ruin the apartment complex and move back out to the streets. It's the same reason that the welfare recipients are 6th, 7th, 8th generation welfare recipients in the United States. It's once you're used to a certain income level, once you're used to a certain environment, a certain relationship, a certain weight, we are wired and conditioned to keep that result no matter what.
Can I ask you another question? This is brilliant, by the way, John. I love the explanation. But there was a study done in the USA Today where they had identical jobs for, I think it was a web programmer. And, you know, same benefits, same everything. Two ads, same paper. One was for $30,000 a year. One was for $120,000 a year. And they found that sort of 70 or 80% of the people phoned on the lower paying job. Is when that kind of thing happens, if we look at these two extremes, winning lots of money and then not seeing the opportunities that are before us. Can you explain that? It's similar stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a term in the neuroscience field called mental fixation. Mental fixation. And basically, mental fixation shows us that we can't help but see the world through the frame or the lens that we already know. And so if you are fixated on what you already know, a certain income that you've earned, even though you might have hopes and dreams of making more and earning more, you see the world as you are, as you're conditioned to see the world. And so that's why, you know, if you want to earn more income, what you have to do first is change the internal programming, the internal map or the internal images and frames and lens that you have, and then you see a whole new world. You know, the old adage, I'll share two stories with you. Number one is everybody knows the old saying, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. That's actually wrong. It's not you'll believe it when you see it. I'll believe it when I see it. It's when I believe it, that's when I'll see it. And so you have to create the belief first in order to see what you want. And another great visual, you know, since we're doing an auditory-based, you know, dialogue here, is imagine that you're sitting in a movie theater and you're watching, you know, the actors and actresses up on the screen. And imagine that you don't like what you're watching. It doesn't make any sense to run up to the screen and scratch out the images on the screen. What would make sense is if you go up to the projector room, take out the DVD, rewrite the script, shoot the film again, and then project out the new film onto the screen. Well, our lives of results are nothing more than images on the screen that are being played by what we are conditioned and programmed to play. If you want the image to change, if you want the result to change, you must change the cause of the results.
Yeah, this leads to another question. You know, fear plays such a big role in deterring people from their financial goals, their achievements. Can you talk a little bit about fear before we go into some of the outcomes?
Sure. There's a lot of the latest brain research is really pointing to us that there's different types of fear. Obviously, there's conscious fears. There's fears that we're aware of, you know, that, you know, if I fail, then it means X or Y, and I really don't want X or Y, so I'm not going to try. But there's also unconscious fears, things like people who are afraid of success and are not even aware of it. And a fear of success would sound something like this. Well, what if I succeed and I can't maintain the success? Most people don't think about that, but in a lot of the research, the unconscious or the research has been done on the unconscious reasons that people get held back by fear, there's over 50 conscious or unconscious potential fears that hold people back. Now, that in of itself may not mean much, but what happens is there's a part of the brain called the amygdala, and it's really the fear sensor of the brain. And remember what I said at the beginning, that our brain looks to minimize anything that could harm us, which means anything that we might be afraid of, and it looks to do it with minimal effort. Well, what happens as soon as we have a conscious or unconscious thought about some potential danger, some risk, something that can hurt us or our family or our finances, a signal is sent from this place called the amygdala to the motivational center of the brain and the part of the brain that causes us to take action. And it basically puts the brake on any thoughts, any emotions, and any moving forward behaviors until we either rectify the fear in our own minds or it just stops us from taking action. As soon as that happens, the thinking part of the brain actually also shuts down. So the genius part of your brain that's able to analyze, that's able to make plans, that's able to give you direction, basically shuts down. So the genius part of your brain and the motivational parts of your brain shut down automatically in millionths of a second as soon as the fear circuit lights up. Mm. And what most people don't understand is the system is there to protect you just in case something could take away your life or something could really harm you and put you in an uncomfortable emotion or uncomfortable environment. So we will do more, as most people have heard, to avoid pain, real or imagined pain, than we actually will to gain pleasure. So the fear circuits of your brain actually override one of the other most important circuits in the brain, and that's the seek and acquire circuit in the brain. We are born to seek new things, to seek adventure, to acquire more stuff. We have a neurological circuit to do that. But that circuit is quickly overridden as soon as real or potential danger that we're aware of or not is sensed by the brain. Now, unfortunately, most people have never been taught to recognize, you know, this fear circuit, to recognize the emotion, and they become victims of their ignorance. And I say victims of their ignorance because ignorance just means not knowing. It doesn't mean you're stupid. Ignorance just means, well, I didn't know that. Well, too bad. Nature doesn't think twice about inflicting capital punishment.
Mm. So if we look at this then as this, I mean, this is this sort of subconscious way or unconscious way of walking through life financially. If we stay with the financial realm, obviously this spills over into sure. all areas of our life. So we realize then, I mean, the awakening here or the understanding as someone listening anywhere they are in the world right now is, hey, I'm kind of on an automatic pilot in some ways. Then what's the
Hold on a second. Not in some ways, David.
In all.
96 to 98% of all thought processes and behaviors are automatic. It's called automaticity. All of the latest research, as early as the last 90 days, is showing us that the entire world is happening and we are processing information unconsciously, and only if the information that's happening around us is relevant to our current situation or our goals will a message be sent to our conscious mind for conscious awareness. So as much as people think that they're making conscious decisions, up to half a second to 3 seconds before you actually make your own decisions, your brain has already processed the information and knows what behavior you're going to take. And we can show that in brain scan imaging with brain scan imaging technologies of just people that think they can make a decision when they're going to pick up a cup of coffee.
Well, I know that something I got from your book, The Answer, which, by the way, is a phenomenal read. This idea that most of what we understand about the brain right now is the last 12 years, but every month or every 6 months, I mean, the advancements and understanding, and that's where you keep yourself on this cutting edge. And that's why I talked about in the introduction is so much of what you talk about is scientifically based. It's not just, oh, we think this is happening. This is proven to happen, right?
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is right now, you know, the research community is investing billions of dollars, you know, going to or trying to understand the last frontier. You know, we've been to the depths of the oceans. We've been, you know, billions of miles, if not trillions of miles, into outer space. And now we're finally able to look deeper and deeper into the human brain and understand more of the operating system of the human brain in real time, more than ever before. And we're still, again, you know, just scratching the surface in this arena, but we finally are starting to get some much better understanding around what's happening so that we could gain more control over our lives.
And that's what we talk about, John. When you talk about winning the game of money, I know there's four primary components you've shared with me. Is this, but the first one is really then becomes, with everything we've talked about, is this ability for us to train our brain or retrain our brain. And because obviously it's been trained subconsciously by environment, by everything that's happened to us. And we this automatic pilot, 96 to 98% of our actions happening sort of unconsciously. So the training of the brain, is that the first step?
Yeah, the first step, there's really a four-step process that that we take people through. Number one is to recognize, you know, what the fears are. Recognize the patterns that are holding you back. The second part is to reframe the things that might be fearful to you, the things that might cause you to stop taking action, and reframe them in a way that empower you as opposed to creating the automatic shut off of your motivational circuits in the brain. The next part is to release those forever. And there's just some exercise you can do, or what I prefer to call as inner sizes. And then the third or the fourth part is to retrain your brain to having new beliefs, new habits, and new perceptions around you and money and what's possible. So that's the first part, is to retrain your brain. But it takes those four steps to really gain mastery over your own brain and mind and what's happening between your ears. There's three other parts to really master.
Okay, before you go on the jog, I want to sort of, I'm thinking of this person sitting at home right now, or they're jogging. People, you know, they listen to this show when they're exercising, they're jogging, they're busy. Again, so many people are on this, they want this success. I haven't met anyone yet, even people that are, you know, deeply spiritually driven, and they may be, you know, that sort of money monk type of scenario. They want to do good. If they had the money, they would contribute at the highest levels and help out, you know, and create good in the world. But I wonder again, as we're talking right now, how many brains are discounting the information? As they're listening to you right now, are people's brains, because we've got to be careful, right? If our brain is always trying to sabotage our step forward, and someone's listening right now and they're, oh yeah, this works for blah, blah, blah. How do we overcome that? Even when to take the first step to say, hey, I need to do something, and there's a guy here who can help me. Do you know what I'm saying?
As I mentioned, you know, the first part of understanding how to change and make your life better and earn more money is to recognize when you are sabotaging your success. One of the first things that people do is they rationalize what they're hearing or what's happening around them. And the definition of rationalize, it actually comes from two words, rational lies. And what happens is, as soon as we hear information that may not be consistent with what we are conditioned to hear or believe or think, we will rationalize by telling ourselves, rationalize why it may not be right for me. It may work for him, but not for her. it may be the right time or not the right time. We will talk ourselves out of the very thing that could be our salvation and transform our lives. And so the first thing, as I mentioned, is recognize when you've got self-talk that is preventing you from really acquiring what you need to achieve your goals. And the first thing is rationalizations.
Awesome. And I saw, again, as you're listening in, I mean, I'm talking to you out there right now, not John. I want you to really be aware of your results, because if you're aware of your results right now and you look at the results in your life financially, and you don't have the results that you would like, you don't have the results that you're hearing on this show right now, I want you to be careful of that brain. Don't get tricked by it. So if you are rationalizing right now, I want you to turn that off for a moment and really focus on what John's about to share with us, because this is a critical piece. And I so believe in what John's doing. I so believe that you follow this path that you're going to get the outcomes you want. And this shows the kick-ass life. And that's about having a kick-ass financial life and your kick-ass financial house in order. So, John, I just want to set that up because, again, you're going into some steps right now that are critically important. And I don't want people sitting back and sort of, you know, typing on their computer or sending an email while they're listening to this either.
Yeah, I mean, the key is to, you know, stay focused on what we're talking about. And that's actually one of the keys that we know in highly successful people financially. They have the ability to stay focused and to concentrate on a result that they want to achieve. And believe it or not, you can teach the brain to concentrate and focus. Most people have never been taught how to concentrate and focus. And that actually happens to be one of the keys that are necessary in order to achieve higher levels of financial success. But with that said, you know, the first part, as we mentioned, is retraining your brain. And the process is, again, recognize, reframe what's holding you back, release it, and retrain your brain to having new beliefs, new habits, and new perceptions about yourself and what's possible. The second part of making more money is really upgrading your knowledge and your skills in the areas that really constitute money. And that is, one, how do you earn more money, either in your job, in a business, in investing, whether it's a stock market or real estate or other investments? And you've really got to upgrade your knowledge and your skills so you're not making stupid decisions or making decisions out of ignorance and not knowing. And the third part is to follow proven strategies and tactics. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you were to Google anything you want to achieve, lose weight, have a better relationship, make more money, hire a gardener, anything that you want the information to, you can Google and you can find people that either will give you the information for free, or you could buy a book on the subject, or you could hire somebody to guide you on exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and why. So then you've got to implement what I call are the right strategies and the right tactics in the right order at the right time. Now, this may sound like it's a lot to do, but it's really not, because if you have a paint by number, you know, blueprint, and it says, you know, in square number one, make it blue, in square number two, make it yellow, in square number three, make it green. If you follow a blueprint of somebody who's already done it over and over and over again, then you're going to save yourself so much time and money from trying to figure out what should I do, when should I do it. And the fourth part, and this is really, really critical, we're finding more and more evidence of this in the neuroscience community, the brain research community, of how we are geared as a species not to do it by ourselves. We are geared as a species to do things in a tribe. We're geared towards, you know, really gaining help from other people who are looking to accomplish the same things that we want to accomplish. So if you're wanting to make more money, get yourself in an environment in your local community, online, wherever you can, with other people who are on the same path as you are, who or, you know, on the same train, in the same direction that you're heading, so that you can learn together, you can pick each other up, you can fall, you can, you know, pull yourself back together, you get the motivation, the encouragement, the answers that you need. And when we have that as an environment to help us really, you know, achieve more success, something called epigenetics kicks into play. Now, genetics, everybody knows, you know, we're born with a set of genes, and depending on whether those genes, you know, are triggered to express themselves, will determine how much of our genetic predisposition we will act on. But what epigenetics, your environment, the environment in which you're thinking, but also the environment of the people that you're hanging around with, they can have a significant impact on helping you change from the outside in. And so you retrain your brain from the inside out, but you work in an environment of other like-minded people from the outside in, so that you have an entire self-sustaining model for not just learning what you need to learn and not just retraining your brain and taking action and changing your entire brain structure around money, for example, but you put yourself in the environment of other people who want to help you every single day, every single week, every single month.
Awesome. So John, this leads in really perfectly, I believe, to, you know, you're doing this project, Winning the Money Game. And this, I know how passionate you are, and these clear steps. Can you tell us about the program? And what I'll do later on is I'll tell people how they can find it. But I just want you to go into the sort of nuts and bolts of, you know, how long is it? How do they get involved in it? That kind of thing. Could you just lead us through that a little bit?
Sure. We developed an all-encompassing program that would really help people change the beliefs and the habits that they have around money. And so we looked at technologies that get the brain into a receptive state for change. And so we came up with our own proprietary technology to do that. And then we created, with the help of some brilliant scientists, brain researchers, the evidence-based methodologies to help people release any of the beliefs and the habits and the perceptions they've had in the past, while we help them create the new beliefs and habits around money. And so we created this brain retraining program that will, over a period of 12 weeks, people will listen to our audio program for 30 minutes a day, and there's 9 different levels that will take you through the entire process of rewiring your brain around your confidence, your certainty, around your beliefs around money, to be able to double, triple, quintuple your income, around your ability to become wealthy. And whatever wealthy means for you, whether it's becoming a millionaire or a multimillionaire, it stems from the beliefs and the habits that you have. So part one of our program really does this. And it's a matter of making a decision, just like you would make a decision to go walk every day for 30 minutes, and you call that exercise. You make a decision to do inner size every day for about 30 minutes. And basically, all you do is you sit down, put on your headphones, and I will reprogram your brain using 8 different methodologies in these 9 levels that we'll take you through. So that's step one of the program. The other part of the program is based on learning the skills and the knowledge that I mentioned before on what is it that you should do, you know, to make more money, to manage your money, to preserve your money, and to become wealthy. And so we've got a variety of video and audio training programs, 6 of them in total, about 10 hours of training to help people do that. And then we have a neuro coaching program that is, I mean, the best in the world on helping people really overcome any of their doubts, their fears, their lack of confidence, lack of certainty, with 2 of the best neuroscientists in the world. One is Mark Waldman, who's adjunct professor at Loyola Marymount University and the author of 12 books. The other is Dr. Joan Rosenberg, professor at Pepperdine University, who is one of the best in the world at mastering your emotions. And then, you know, every 2 weeks we have a 90-minute live training session that they teach a different aspect of mastering your mindset with a question and answer period so you can upgrade your skills, your knowledge, and your understanding. And then I also come in every 60 days and teach people some of the best tools, resources, strategy, and tactics I've learned in order to help them, you know, earn more money and really achieve their life's goals and dreams. So we've taken, you know, all of the material that we know works, and then we've put it into a community that people can get all the support that they need with thousands of other people around the world that are also looking to have an amazing lifestyle and create more wealth for themselves, their families, and for the causes and charities and legacy that they want to leave behind.
And I wonder, John, if you could share, I know that you've worked with all kinds of people, and you know, obviously our listening audience is really a real mix. I mean, we're talking about a global audience. We're talking about people in from all walks of life. And can you share some of the successes that you're seeing and how, you know, because, I mean, you sort of started the show talking a little bit about how the brain's wired about it, wanting to sort of do the minimum amount of effort for the maximum amount of results. And so we have to be careful there. And I think that's why you've been able to break this over time, where people are sitting down for small amounts of time, but really doing it systematically. But can you share a little bit about the results you've seen and some of the stories you're hearing already?
Sure. There's a story that sticks out in my mind as you asked that. It's this woman that I met at an event that I did in Australia about a year ago. And this woman purchased our Winning the Game of Money program. And she was in her 60s. For her whole life, she was a caregiver. And her husband died when she was very, very young. And she raised four children on a widow's salary of $12,000 a year in the rural outback of Australia, small little town. And Joni Sanderson is her name. And she came to one of the events, and she believed that, you know, she could achieve more, but she had a whole bunch of doubts and fears and stories as to why she didn't deserve, you know, to make two or three or four times more money than she was making. And she was a caregiver. She just helped people in their time of need when they were ill or they were having some health issues that were detrimental to survival. How's that? And she thought that she needed to do that for free. Well, she started on the program in the middle of last year, I believe it was May of last year. And I ran into her again in November of 2012. And she told me that she was going to make between $75,000 and $100,000 because she started to believe in herself. She started to believe that what she was doing had worth. She started to believe that she could charge for it and that it would be okay for her to charge for what she did easily and naturally. And so this woman's a perfect example of somebody in her 60s who thought that, you know, her time was over basically for earning money, who then has gone on to make five and hopefully 10 times more money than she's ever made in her whole life, which is giving her the lifestyle that she wants, but more importantly, the confidence and the certainty to keep making a bigger difference in people's lives. And I hear stories like this every single week from people who are, you know, using our programs and really making the internal changes that are yielding them the outside results that they really want.
What I love about your approach, John, and again, it's very refreshing. I work with, and I chat to some of the great minds in our world, but your commitment to the cutting edge, your commitment to the what's happening today in science, what's happening today in these areas, and the way you keep bringing it forward. I mean, I want to congratulate you for that. And I want to sort of get a little bit of a vision of your future. As your goal right now, as far as, you know, the impact you're having on the world, impact on people's finances, helping people, you know, travel through this journey of self-knowledge and then giving them the real skills and the ability to change the environmental impact that they've had, this conditioning that they're living in, sort of rewiring their brains. But what is your ultimate goal here? What are you looking at? What drives you? What gets you up early and keeps you up late? And I know you work very, very hard. But what is that passion that's driving you so deeply?
You know, when I was younger, as I mentioned, I really had some issues with my self-esteem, and I didn't think that I was good enough, and I didn't think that I was smart enough. And I wanted to be a part of making sure that people have the confidence, the certainty, and the personal power to go after and live, you know, their life's goals and dreams. And I really, you know, want to leave that as my legacy, as somebody who took the latest brain research and the latest, you know, information, put it out there to the world to be able to utilize so that a few more people could say, wow, what an amazing journey they've had. And that's what I want to be a part of.
Yeah. And last time you were on the show, I asked you the final question I asked you, and we're at sort of the top of the hour. And I want to ask you two questions in case I've missed something. This is such a complex and wonderful subject. I'm very excited because, you know, I mean, you know my story. I arrived here. I was broke. I'd been backpacking for 10 and a half years. And I had to learn the things that you're teaching, and I had to reprogram myself. So, you know, having done this journey from sort of a rags to riches and creating the life of my dreams, I so believe that it's not only possible, but I think it's necessary. I think anyone listening right now, it's a necessary thing to grasp hold of this. It's a necessary thing to really be able to have everything they want, to be able to contribute at a higher level. Because everyone who listens to this show, John, they want to do good. This is what the show is about. Leading a kick-ass life is not a selfish life. Leading a kick-ass life is having everything. And so my two questions to you in closing is there a question that I've forgotten to ask you, or is there something you'd like to add for somebody listening right now of why they should sort of take action? And again, I'll sort of give them the steps of how they can do that. But well, is there anything else you'd like to add or a question I should have asked you?
No, I mean, you did an amazing job being prepared and asking some great questions. I think, you know, the question that I would ask everybody to ask themselves is not something from me, but, you know, if having and living an amazing life is really available to you, like, why aren't you doing everything possible to make sure that you're living an amazing life? See, there's something that our friend Jim Rohn said to me many, many years ago. And he said, John, he said, you're either going to pay the price of discipline or you're going to pay the price of regret. He says, discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons. And I took that to heart. I didn't want to be regretful in my life of things that I should have done when I could have. And depending on how old you are, you know, the younger you are, the further you are from the reality of what I just said. But the older you get, you know, you realize that, you know, time goes by so fast. And before you know it, you realize nobody's really thinking about you. Nobody really, you know, is worried for you as far as, are you doing well or aren't you doing well? Are you living your great life or aren't you? Those are your responsibilities. And you're either going to make the decisions, you know, to move forward and really leave an amazing, blazing trail and feel like your life had all the purpose and all the meaning, and you thoroughly used your life in a way that you're proud of, or you're going to have regrets. Because even if you say it was okay, do you really want your life to just be okay? Don't you want your life to be off the deep end, phenomenal, amazing, if you can have it that way? And if you can, then what's the price you have to pay? And I'm going to share with you the price. It's just the price of change. You just have to pay the price of change, of being uncomfortable learning new things, uncomfortable undoing some of the things that won't serve you anymore. But that is so much less expensive, okay, than sitting at the end of your life or near the end of your life having hopes and dreams and wishes that have been unfulfilled.
You know, John, there's many people out there who haven't been to a live training with me, but one of the analogies I like to give people is that so many people I know, if they're sitting at home right now, if they're out, whatever, if they look at, they could be riding a bike, they could be in their sports gear, they could be in their suits, But so many people, when I look at how much they spend on makeup, on haircuts, on suits and ties or jeans, I mean, designer jeans, hundreds of dollars, right? Shoes and all the different trappings, their car payment, their bicycles, and all the money that we spend on the external. Quite often what I see with 99% of the students when I first start working with them is thousands of times more than they'll ever spend on the inside. And we know that that inner world creates our outer world. And I want to, again, thank you for being on the show. And I really want, you know, this is deeply passionate to me. And John and I talked about doing this show for a while. You know, if you're listening right now, this is the early part of 2013. You know, and it really is up to you right now, whether you take hold of this with both hands and understand there's a way that you can take 100% responsibility for everything in your life and everything not in your life, but it's going to take some action. And with that, John, I'm going to ask you the final question I asked you last time. I'm going to reframe it slightly. I asked you last time, I said, hey, you know, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. What does the kick-ass life mean? And you answered that. I'm going to ask it slightly differently. You know, I'm going to ask you, what does it mean to you to lead a kick-ass financial life?
What it means to me is, you know, I think that, you know, money just tells you how well you're playing the game of commerce or business. So what it means to me is that I'm playing the game fairly well, but what it really helps me do is make a bigger difference in the world. It gives me a bigger voice for my opinions. It gives me a bigger voice for my desires and goals and creativity. And the more options that I have, the more impact I can have in my life that gives me purpose and meaning. And ultimately, you know, if we can feel like we have purpose and meaning and that somehow in a little way we've made, you know, this beautiful blue planet of ours a little bit better place for others to live, oh man, that's worth it.
Yeah. John, we'll have you back. I'm so glad you're back here now, and I just want to wish you and your family and your children just a magnificent 2013.
Thanks, my friend. Same to you. Big hugs and lots of love to you and everybody listening.
Awesome. Well, like I said, you know, so many gems, so many nuggets, so many takeaways. And, you know, John's invited you to go along for a free webinar so that you can really step into this on a much, much deeper level. thekickasslife.com/winning, thekickasslife.com/winning. And John's invited you to come in there as a completely free. And you know, you got to understand to do the right things in the right order at the right time and retrain this brain of yours. You know, I love this, he coined this phrase, inner size, as opposed to exercise, this daily inner size. You know, and I understand this from my own journey is that, you know, I grew up with a poor poverty mentality, you know, on a council estate in a poor part of England. And everyone I knew was broke. Well, my influences were broke people. My mom was always broke. She always spent more than she had. So it took me a lot of years to understand that I could retrain my own brain and create wealth. And that it was just a choice. But it took someone coming into my life at a certain time and offering me something I didn't know. And it was within 8 months, I went from $4 an hour as a waiter, $4 an hour, to $10,000 in a month. My first time, I'm looking at that check going, no one ever told me this. But remember, everyone around you, there are people around you right now that are influencing every decision you make. And quite often they're broke and some of them are not very happy. And that's the influence you have. So, you know, again, it's a matter of getting around happy, wealthy people who have answers for you. So again, thekickasslife.com/winning. Let's listen to a little Pink Floyd about what's going on around us, the influences.
Is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall.
So true, isn't it? And they don't mean to be. People don't mean to be negative. They just don't know any different. They're conditioned to think what they believe is true is true. And what I found is I don't believe a thought I think. My brain is wired to survive. My brain isn't the thing that's going to make me happy. It doesn't make me rich if I listen to those negative thoughts. So time to get out of those negative thoughts, step into something more powerful. And again, take John's offer, thekickasslife.com/winning. And I'll see you on the other side. And just know this, you know, that whatever you can
sort of dream, whatever. I mean, you think of that wonderful line, you know, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe he can achieve, or the mind of man or woman can conceive and believe they can achieve. And I so believe that. So, John, thanks so much. Yeah, it's just great having you on the show again. Thanks for stepping in. And thanks for this offer, you know, and for really allowing people to understand how they can take control of their own financial life and retrain their brains for success. So thekickasslife.com/winning. I will see you, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side.
That was kick-ass.